Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan.
Concepts like IBP, or Integrated Business Planning, and more recently, XPNA, Extended Planning and Analysis, are all about better partnership across different functions of a business. In simple terms, it's about everyone, finance, sales, operations, all working as a team from the same playbook and using the same information. It's appealing and it makes total sense. The reality is often different, not because people are against the idea, but because modern business is complicated and has a lot of moving parts. And then you have software vendors stepping in, promising that their technology will solve everything. And technology can, but it's a little bit like when I took up mountain biking in middle age and found myself looking at some steep rocky trail that other mountain bikers seemed to bounce up easily. I had a great mountain bike, there was nothing wrong with the technology, but clearly making it up that trail required more than just having great technology. So today we're going to hear from someone who is like one of the other more experienced mountain bikers. We're going to put technology aside and hear from someone who has worked in partnership across functions. We're going to learn why it's worth it for businesses to make the effort, as well as how he's been successful personally in making it happen. Stay tuned. My guest today is someone who knows what it takes to create productive partnerships between finance, supply chain operations, and IT. He's currently the Director of Finance for Supply Chain FP&A at Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages, which is one of the largest Coca-Cola bottlers in the United States. But today, we're actually going to talk about what he has learned over his entire career, drawing on almost 20 years of experience working in finance in a number of companies and industries. It is my great pleasure to introduce today's guest, Amin Damani. Welcome, Amin.
Thank you. Hello, and glad to be here. I'm actually really looking forward to our discourse this afternoon.
So, Amin, you've had a distinguished career at a number of leading companies, working as a finance leader in industries ranging from technology to energy to consumer packaged goods or CPG, but you've often been embedded with operational functions such as supply chain, commercial, and IT. And even your current title is in supply chain FP&A or financial planning and analysis. So when I look at your resume, I could easily get the impression that there are no silos between finance and supply chain operations, but I'm sure there's a nuance there. So perhaps you can tell me, are there silos between finance and operations? Is that even a real thing?
I think that's a very tricky question, right? So are there silos? Yes, there are silos because we report up to different org structures. Yet, should there be a silo? No. Right, because they are very interchangeable. You have to work with each other in terms of your functionality and stuff like that. They're very interdependent. If you really look at it, you can make this relationship to be a very transactional relationship where you would have some silos, or you build a partnership where you break down all the walls and you kind of like work with each other in terms of problem solving and all the other areas. So traditionally, yes, there has been silos, but no, I mean, we are moving away from that, right? If you really look at it, because finance today, like when I look at supply chain finance, I'm more of an operations engineer. I just know how to look at numbers with dollars in there. But yeah, we have to really talk and understand each other from both operations perspective and finance perspective. So yes, there has to be a big partnership there.
You know, I think as I listen to you speaking, I wonder whether it's about keeping the world simple, right? So silos in some ways make things simple. I live here and this is my job and you live over there and that is your job, right? But as we all know, the world is getting more and more complicated. We know there's more and more discussion about finance being becoming more and more of a data-driven, data science kind of function. And then there's more and more about operations, understanding more about the financial story. And so if you're going to get that qualitative advantage in a company, the more you can figure out how to introduce some complexity, but in a productive way, so that everybody is still a net contributor, then there is this sort of more intangible, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts kind of effect, I think, that can come out. You know, I wonder if that's some of what you're pointing at here when you talk about partners.
Absolutely, right? So when you talk about data, where is that data coming from? That's most probably operational data that individuals in the operations side are tracking, right? The trend of various operational data that they're tracking. But what does that data tell us? Because financials is something that you look at and review at the end of the month. Are we on target? Are we not on target, right? What are the variances? How do you explain the variances? Finance, you can actually take it as a very static numbers, or you can actually make it very dynamic where the variances will have to be explained through a story. What is the dollars telling us? If there is a positive or negative variances, what caused that? What are the causes? We have to be able to double click on that. And as soon as you double click, you are most likely to land in the realm of data analytics. And that is really operational data, right? That is where that partnership comes into play to kind of look at that and kind of look at it together. Because as you said, yes, you've got to work together because as the definition of team goes, right? Together, everyone achieves more. So yeah, we have to look at those data and then marry it up to the financials. And that's really what the storyline is. So yes, there has to be a very good handshake between the two.
I love that analogy about teamwork. You know, it makes me think about, you know, sports teams, right? That often there are specialists in sports teams. And essentially in this case, the finance is bringing that skill in understanding the numbers and interpreting them, whereas the operations is bringing that deep understanding of the data and what's actually happening in the business. And putting those two things together gets you to a much better place.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right. So when you look at the total dollar numbers, it's really P times Q, right? Where P could be a price or the rate, which converts the Q into dollars. But Q is the realm which the operation lives in, right? They're looking at all the quantity and production efficiency and all kinds of operational driven matrix, which is really going to drive your Q. So yeah, when you look at the result, it is actually P times Q, which by definition is the finance times the operations. So there's your silo brain broken down even in an equation.
That's great. So now that we understand that there is value to having a partnership between finance and operations, it could be supply chain operations or something else, but let's stick with supply chain for now. Can you help us understand it more deeply? Do you have any examples you can share about this?
Absolutely, Anne. Like if you look at finance people are really trained in measurements, right? And how to tell the story and not just the numbers. So if you look at a couple of examples, right? One could be, let's look at transportation. You're trying to implement a project which is improving your volume forecast, right? You cannot start by just saying that, you know, I'm going to have X amount of dollars in savings. Where you need to start off with, all right, what is this additional accuracy and volume forecasting is going to land, right? If you're actually, let's say, loading a truck with your product, with X amount of products, with better forecast accuracy, you may be able to load a little bit more per load, right? So what you will see over a period of time is you're able to, if your volume, sales volume stays constant, you will be able to send less load than what you initially were sending, because now your trucks are going much fuller, hence less loads, which then translates to running less miles, right, at an annual level. And we all know, like, with transportation cost is really driven by cost per mile. So if you're actually driving less miles, we know that we're going to save in transportation. It's kind of like how we drive our car. If we are going to drive less, it's going to cost less in our gas mileage, right? Our gas money. So that's how, like, you have to kind of work with the transportation team to look at some of these KPIs around loads and less miles. And they have to be trackable. So you have to make sure that you start with trackable KPIs that operations team is already tracking, and then translate and build your savings off of those trackable KPIs and assign a dollar to it to kind of see, like, all right, what is your initiative? What are the synergies that you're trying to track, right? Another example would be in the commercial side, right? So when you talk to your sales team, and usually sales like to provide forecast, which sometimes it's conservative. Very rarely it's conservative. It's usually very aggressive forecast, right? How do you break that forecast out? Again, going to the concept of double clicking, we can look at, like, all right, how is that sales volume built? Are we looking at certain velocity for certain product? Are we looking at the number of outlets these products are going to be in, right? If we see a trend of certain velocity for these particular products, and we look at that trend and trend that out times the outlet, that should give you a fairly close amount of volume forecast that you're looking for. You can layer in some of the promotions that you may run, right? In terms of, like, hey, I'm going to do buy one, get one free, or I'm going to give additional discount. And you know that that is going to drive some of your product sales from a velocity perspective. You can layer some of those in, right? Then when you get to the end of the month and when you're reviewing your financial information, you are actually going to look at how did we do in terms of volume, right? Did we meet our forecast? Did we not meet it? If we did meet it or we didn't meet it, you can actually double click and go back to, like, all right, if you were gonna be placing these products in 100 outlets, did we have products in 100 outlets? Yes, check. Next layer. Velocity. We forecasted X amount of velocity or throughput for these products going out per week. Did we have that? If we did, great. If not, that's where our issue lies, right? And then you can look at what caused that not to happen. So you have to work very closely with whether it's the operations team and transportation team, whether it's the sales team. Finance is a very, very integral part of this partnership.
Oh, that helps a lot. I wish we could, you know, just keep talking for hours because I have so many questions. But let me just pick on one. You mentioned making sure that KPIs or key performance indicators, right, are trackable, which I guess implies that they have to be business processes and data processes to ensure that it's not a ridiculous amount of work to keep track of a KPI, right? This should not be something that requires a financial analyst to spend, you know, a week to get to a number for, right? This has to have some data infrastructure and some business process infrastructure behind it. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, you don't want to start with a new KPI, right? You want a KPI that is tracked on a regular basis by the team so that they would look at it. They will continue to look at it. The risk of introducing a new KPI is you would actually introduce a KPI and no one looks at it. Then it really does not make any sense. So yes, absolutely. You would have to build KPIs based off of what they're already tracking, right? Because that will help you continue the tracking process. And then that's where you make the leap from going from an operational KPI to a financial KPI.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that it's worthwhile to be very intentional about how you choose your KPIs, and maybe not, you know, I could just imagine some people getting carried away about wanting to add a whole bunch of KPIs, but that may not necessarily add real value, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for those insights. So I do love those examples, and I think it's helping us see it more clearly. So let's get to my wrap-up question, which is the learning question. So suppose we have a listener who is a finance leader looking to help their company be more proactive by getting the operations people to use them more in partnership and to use KPIs more, but perhaps they're getting some resistance to that idea. So would you have any advice for them on how to get more buy-in?
I don't know if I would have advice for them, but this is what I have used and which has worked for me, right, in my experience. So maybe that could be the advice. One thing I would tell them is, let's face it, nobody likes change, right? That is the universal truth. Change is the only constant. The only people who actually like change are babies with dirty diapers, right? Keeping that out of the, being that the universal truth, let's look at it. How do we attack it? Like, how do I approach it? So the way I try to approach this is a strategy that I usually use. It's called going from known to unknown. What most people are very comfortable with is what they already know, right? When presenting a new concept and stuff, that is foreign to them. They don't know that. They're always going to be some sort of resistance in people accepting that. So when you start off, because one thing about the audience you have to keep in mind is every single one of us are tuned onto this radio station called WIIFM. What's in it for me, right? Now, if you are talking to them about, look, this is what you are aware of. These are the KPIs, these are the metrics, these are the things that you're using today in your daily life, and build a bridge from that into the new information that you're trying to share, that's the bridge that you're trying to build, going from known to unknown. That has seemed to help me quite a lot in my past years in the financial career. I'll give you an example. I distinctly remember there was this merger and acquisition that took place in one of the companies I was with in the past, where we actually had to go and talk to this leader about using our financial systems and stuff like that. There was a huge resistance. Nope, I need my information in this format and that format. I'm used to looking at each one of these columns and rows and stuff like that, and information in this format. Great. When I walked in, I actually didn't tell her what I was proposing. What I told her was, give me a tour of the facility. Give me all the matrix, all the information that you're using. And as she was going through and sharing, and at that point in time, she was very passionate about what her tools are capable of doing and so on and so forth, her reports and stuff. I was taking mental notes. And then once we were done, we went to the whiteboard, we wrote down all the reports that she had. And then I actually told her, look, here are the reports that you said you are looking at. Here are some of the reports that we are building and we are delivering. Each one of these reports that you are currently looking at has following information, which is found in these reports as well. That's where she's like, all right, how come nobody told me that? Like, that I don't know, right? But yes, going from known to unknown, that is a bridge that has become very, very valuable. And I tell this to my team as well, right? Whenever you're talking, you got to build that bridge between the individuals. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether it's operations, sales, IT, transportation, whoever you take it, they are our customers. Right? How do we serve our customer to the best of the ability?
Yeah, I love that example, actually, because it really gets back to the power of listening, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is why God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We need to listen more and talk less.
And by the way, I do love your nobody likes change except a baby with a dirty diaper. That brings back some memories.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yes.
Oh, I mean, I really appreciate the time you spent with me today. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I really hope and I'm sure that our listeners will get some great nuggets out of it. So thank you so much for being a guest on the Ask the podcast this week.
Oh, no, thank you so much for inviting me to this podcast. This is awesome.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.